Welcome to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or the absolutely free ESPN Pensacola mobile app. This show brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. Bill, War Eagle, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
War Eagle, happy Thanksgiving. Glad to be here. Man, what an exciting week for Auburn.
Yes, it's a very exciting week. And of course, I said happy Thanksgiving to Bill, but happy Thanksgiving to all of you listening. If you're taking the time out of your Thanksgiving morning to tune into War Eagle Weekly, we greatly appreciate that. We love it every week, but we know that Thanksgiving, there's a lot going on, a lot of people spending time with family. So if you're on the roads and you chose to listen to us instead of Christmas music, that is very wholesome of you. Thank you. All right. Yes, getting into this Auburn Thanksgiving week, it's a pretty loaded slate that we have to talk about, and that's always the case. But we also always like to lead with basketball. And, man, with basketball alone, it's been a bit of a roller coaster. We've seen Auburn. They had a decent start, had a close loss against Houston. We talked about that last week. But since then, it's been a little bit of up and a little bit of down. Is that right?
Yeah, it's with the one possession loss to Houston, that was a bit of a heartbreaker because they really played well. Auburn looked good. They looked a lot like they did last year. Especially defensively. The disappointing thing that I still see from this team this year is their free throw percentage is not very, very good. I mean, it's in the 60 percentile range
right.
for the team, which, you know, people that that end up going to the line are just not sinking the free throws, not like we were last year, especially late in the year. We come back from that game and we end up beating Oregon pretty good.
Decent
It was an 11-point win over Oregon. And then we just got hammered by Michigan.
Yeah.
Michigan looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan, to me, looks like the Florida team from last year.
Yeah,
very Michigan, physical.
I'm gonna give them some high praise here. They remind me of Auburn. Auburn started the year last season getting some high quality wins, and for Michigan to beat you by 30, they've since beaten Gonzaga by 40, I believe. They're beating up on quality competition. That says a lot.
Yeah, they're well coached. They were a good team last year, and they made it to into the bracket last year. So they were not a poorly performing team. They're playing lights out basketball right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to play them again. Not right now, you know.
Yeah, you'd welcome the challenge from Houston, Michigan, and we're enough.
Yeah, I think we're done with Michigan. coming off that 30-point loss, and then 24 hours later, you know, we have an 11-point win over St. John's, who's also a ranked team.
That's huge.
And then we don't play again until Wednesday, and we're playing another ranked team in NC State. So,
wow, okay.
Yeah, so it's, I'm excited about this team
mm-hmm.
In very much the same way I was excited about last year's basketball team. We don't have the, you know, NCAA's number one guy like we did last year with Janai Broome. So we don't have that marquee name other than Tahad Pettiford. You know, he returned from last year. He had a great freshman season last year, and he's taking the leadership role of this team, and he's doing very well. But outside of him, pretty much everybody's a transfer in from picking them up out of the portal because we lost so many players last year. You know, everybody left except Tahad Pettiford. Most of them graduated. The only one that transferred out through the transfer portal was Chad Baker Mazar. He went to Southern Cal, and he's doing pretty well there. So, you know, the thing with this transfer portal, you know, which didn't exist 10 years ago, is every year is a rebuilding year. You know, it
certainly can be.
Yeah, and if you fall short of your expectations, you can expect your marquee players to, you know, start looking for greener grass somewhere else. So, that's why I was so happy to see that Tahad Pettiford stayed, even though Bruce Pearl retired. I think Steven taking over for his dad had a lot to do with Tahad staying at Auburn as well.
Yeah, if you just brought in a random name, it would be a complete change of culture.
Yeah, unless it was a marquee name, you know, like
sure,
like your perennial all-time basketball coaches, you know. But the Pearl name is there now. That's the Pearl name is in that same level as the Coach K's and all the other marquee coaches that you can think of for the last 30 years in college basketball. He deserves to be in that conversation because of what he's done not only at Tennessee, but then turned around and did it at Auburn.
Right. And I look at the Michigan loss. It's upsetting to see any loss by that magnitude, but I'm really going to give a lot of credit to the Wolverines on that because, as I said, if you're going to then turn around and take on a team like Gonzaga with a coach like Mark Few, and you're going to rain hellfire on them as well, it's a matter of, okay, that it's clearly a matter of Michigan being good. And if Auburn can beat the likes of Oregon and St. John's, who are teams that aren't great, but they're good teams. They are tournament caliber teams. We've seen Oregon be a middle of the pack team in the bracket. St. John's was just a 2 seed last year, I believe, and they play in the Big East. That's a deep conference typically. And then you've got another one against NC State coming up. That's a team that's done more with less. We saw them make a pretty decent Cinderella run just a couple years ago. And of course, the ACC is historically a basketball conference, so there's no problem with a Tobacco Road school if you can beat them coming up. That would be a good trio of wins for Auburn to have, and then you got the quality loss to Houston. So Auburn's looking good. That loss to Michigan, we'll chalk that up to the Wolverines just being stellar.
That game was, it was difficult to watch as an Auburn fan, but you really had to admire the fact that they came out fast.
Right.
And they were very physical, and they were taking shots, and they were making them. They were not missing. They were essentially firing on all cylinders that game. And it just, I don't think it had to do specifically with playing Auburn. I think they would have looked like that play no matter who they played.
Right.
It was just their night for everything to come together and all the stars to line up. And they played great basketball and Auburn didn't.
Mm. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's as simple as that. Also, one of the things that we're going to talk about, of course, in great detail is Auburn football, Iron Bowl coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're wearing your Beat Bama shirt, so you're in the festive mood.
preparatory mood.
Yes, and one of the things that we were talking about, just kind of looking ahead to this game in passing a week or two ago, the kickoff time announced for this game, so I'll lead with that. 6:30 p.m., correct?
Mm-hmm.
Prime time kickoff.
6:30 at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
And it's the first time, I think, since 07?
I believe so, and Auburn has won more of the night games against Alabama at Jordan-Hare than lost. We have a better record at night.
Yeah, all the things are kind of falling in place for Auburn to really make life miserable for Alabama, whether it be the kickoff time, where the game's taking place, how history has treated Auburn in those circumstances, but also Auburn, you know, a lot of people are saying Auburn's got nothing to lose. I would say Auburn fighting for a bowl only adds to the implications, only adds to the incentive for Auburn to win, assuming they needed any more of an incentive to win the Iron Bowl.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what the record is for either of these teams. This is the game that the kids sign up to play in. This is the in-state rival. It's always been this way. This is the game that creates animosity that lasts 364 days.
You know? Right.
It's that important to most of the deep Alabama fans and the deep Auburn fans. This is the game that matters the most. Winning titles and stuff is great, but if you don't beat your in-state rival, this is the game that can make or break your coach's future too. We've seen that a number of times.
And we've got a couple of those storylines coming up this rivalry weekend. And I was hearing some buzz earlier this week, and I saw something on social media, but it was being discussed, I think, on my Tuesday morning show, Tiger Talk, LSU-driven show over there. They were talking about Kalen DeBoer. There's some whispers that if he loses this game, doesn't make the playoffs, obviously there's going to be more calls for his head in Tuscaloosa, but they're talking about him maybe being a guy that could take the Penn State job. Now, just quick thoughts here. What do you think about that?
I think that's a long shot.
I think so, too.
I mean, it's not an impossibility.
No.
But
Why would, unless he is canned after 2 years, which I don't know would happen, even if they did lose to Auburn, even if they didn't make the playoff, I don't know if they'd can him after just two seasons. But if they did, still, that's one thing that kind of feels like a long shot to me. Then you got to double it by Penn State scooping him up. I don't know if that's who they'd want either.
Well, I mean, do they who do they go after if they do that? I'm still thinking Lane Kiffin, if he doesn't stay at Ole Miss, is going to end up at LSU.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get John Summerall. We're going to talk some more about that, too.
He's definitely the favorite.
You know, who do they look to replace? You know, Franklin's already signed on at Virginia Tech. So, I mean, you know, who do you go after?
I guess Kalen DeBoer would be, if he were on the market, he would be a favorite if he's trying to get out of the Southern realm, because they talk about culturally, you know, there's a difference there with how you approach the game and how you play and what the standard is, especially at a place like Alabama. So Alabama and Penn State are both programs with high standards, loud fan bases, all that, but they're very different when it comes to what they expect to see on the field every week. So I don't know, maybe Penn State, he would see that as I can't believe I'm saying this, but refreshing change of pace going there and trying to be competitive in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I still think it's a long shot. I don't even if Auburn beats Alabama Saturday, I don't see that happening this year.
I normally wouldn't think so either. So I would be, I'll say this, since you mentioned it's not an impossibility, I'll say I'd be impressed if that's the change of pace. I'd be surprised if that's the change of pace that we take.
Now, if they come to Jordan-Hare Stadium Saturday and lay an egg and Auburn, you know, thumps them, you know, 38-0.
If they get 38-3, yeah.
That means they don't make it to the SEC playoff. They don't make it into the college football playoff. You know, so their postseason is relegated to a mid-level bowl game. Then, you know, that might be a relevant conversation. But man, that to me is just a super long shot.
Yeah, I would. And I hope for better for Kalen DeBoer in that regard. When it comes to just him as a guy, him as a coach,
might be worth putting $10 on it. You know,
yeah. We may place a bet on that one once we go to break here. But no, Kalen DeBoer. I hope better for him when it comes to that, because, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I want Bama to succeed, but I do want him to succeed as far as a coach wherever he may be. And I know that Alabama's got him on a short leash, so. Hopefully he doesn't get scrapped right away and he has to be in a position where he's looking for a job. I don't think that would happen.
Well, see, I've heard no rumblings from the Alabama fans that I know even mentioning letting him go.
I think that's something you see from like an extremist in a chat forum somewhere.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe a Harvey Updike, you know, might have that kind of feeling towards him. But, you know, the true dyed-in-the-wool Alabama fans, I'm not hearing any rumblings from them.
And that's definitely encouraging when it comes to that subject matter. 10:15 here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. When we return, we're going to be talking about this this Iron Bowl and what it's going to take competitively speaking, actually on the field, for Auburn to win this game. Because I feel, Bill, and I'll get your thoughts on this, I think there's a clear factor that needs to be addressed in this game as far as how Auburn will win it. But we'll also talk about that John Summerall situation over at Tulane, maybe him coming to Auburn as well. We'll discuss that. That and more coming up in just a few minutes right here on ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Coach and Ford Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, the owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured, Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Coach and Four Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
You keep cleaning out the garage, and there's no room for your car. That's why it's time you call Florida's Finest Structures. They're locally owned and operated for over 20 years, and they build quality sheds, cottages, gazebos, garages, man caves.
And cheese sheds.
That's right. What makes them unique is they build your structure on your property. No need to take down a fence or a tree. Just show them where you want your new shed, and they'll start building. Get the quality and the experience at the best prices in town. It's Florida's Finest Structures with sales locations in Pensacola, Pace, and in Gulf Breeze.
Whoa, you just passed the gas station.
I know. I'm going to CEFCO. It's more than gas. They've got it all. Everyday low prices and fresh made to order food. Always served hot, fast, and dang good. Plus, rewards members get great deals, so I save big on the good stuff, like drinks, gas, and your favorite snacks.
Good call. I'm already at the bottom of this bag.
Knew you would be. Right now, get two tacos for $5. Try crispy bacon, savory sausage, or bold chorizo. If you're on the go, better go to CEFCO.
ESPN Bet is becoming the Score Bet this December. The same betting app you love, with a new look and promos curated just for you. Existing ESPN Bet customers don't have to change a thing. Your account, wallet, and bets will all remain the same. Plus, kick things off right now by logging in and claiming a 100% profit boost. More action, more rewards. More for you. The Score Bet, coming this December. 21 plus, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Too much on your plate? Get 50% off your first 6 months of payroll at gusto.com/radio. Gusto saves you 2 days every month on payroll, taxes, and compliance. So you can go from payroll to pumpkin pie, filing taxes to raising glasses, counting hours to counting blessings. There's no need to transfer payroll history when you switch before the end of the year. And you'll be thankful you did. Choose a future with Gusto and get more time for what matters. For a limited time, get 50% off your first 6 months at gusto.com/radio.
Scott Graham here from Westwood One. Don't miss any of our exclusive NFL action all season long until a new champion is crowned at Super Bowl 60. Of course, each week begins with Thursday Night Football. I'll get it started with a preview and a look ahead at the big weekend games. Then it's to the stadium for the play-by-play of all the action. Join us all season long on Thursday Night Football
on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
The Paul Feinbaum Show, 2 till 6 after the Rich Eisen Show and before Amber and Ian on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly, all previous ones, all upcoming ones, on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com, and we're always sure to promote them on our ESPN Pensacola Facebook page as well, so be sure to follow that. This show brought to you by DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, selected 3 times as a rising star, specializing in areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage and foreclosures, probate litigation, and more. Sandpiper Services, that's a handy man company ready to tackle your projects, from plumbing or electrical to ceiling fan installs, sink or bathtub installs, painting, drywall, even punch lists for real estate deals. Trusted, local, and insured at Sandpiper Services. You can find them on Facebook. And Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway. You can wear your football gear in on game day Saturdays, any team, and get 10% off. Or if you're an Auburn fan in particular, you can come in with your gear on any day and get that same 10% discount. And Bill, I'm going to send it to you here. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Talking about Coaching Four, they're accepting reservations for Christmas parties now, right?
Yeah, Christmas, whether it's a group party or a corporate event or whatever, they're scheduling parties. All you need to do is give them a call, talk to either Rachel or Bill, and they'll set you up. They'll get you scheduled for your holiday party.
Excellent. All right. And we always like to give thanks to our sponsors because without the show.
Yeah, with it being Thanksgiving, especially. I can't thank these folk, all my sponsors, enough. It's a blessing not only to know them, but it's a blessing for them to sponsor this program.
Yeah, because without them, this show would not be on air right now. So we are very thankful to them, especially in this Thanksgiving mood that we're in. All right, Bill, we were talking about the Iron Bowl. Obviously very heavy very heavy stakes. We were talking about that before we went to break. But now, competitively, on the field, what is it going to take, in your mind, for Auburn to win this game in Jordan-Hare?
Well, it's gonna require a more productive running game than we saw against Mercer. I mean, we didn't really need it against Mercer. Mm-hmm. We haven't talked about Mercer yet, that the ending of that game. Man, what
complete control.
What a breakout game for Deuce Knight.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't have scripted it any better.
Because he had, what, like over 400 total yards and 6 touchdowns, right?
Well, first play from scrimmage, 75-yard scamper, you know. And it was a pass play, and the receivers weren't open, and he pulled the ball down and took off running with it.
Right.
And the next thing you know, I have not seen an Auburn quarterback accelerate like that since Cam Newton.
And that's good company.
Yeah. I mean, he looked like he wasn't even trying very hard, and he just went right past people that were running wide open. Mm-hmm. And he just it was effort. It looked like it was effortless to him to accelerate like that.
Right.
He had 3 scores on the ground. I think he had the first 3 scores, period, were all on the ground, him running. And obviously that first play from scrimmage, I mean, what a way to open up that game. And the defense, you know, the defense bent in the first quarter and early in the second quarter. And then they tightened up and didn't allow anything else. So.
Well, and we were sure last week, to give Mercer credit, their offense was unbelievable. I mean, it wasn't just, oh, it's good or it's consistent. No, it was great.
No, their quarterback is probably going to end up in the transfer portal and end up at a much bigger program this coming year. What I saw him do with what he had around him against Auburn's defense, he deserves to play at a bigger school. I look to him, you know, to end up at like a Mississippi State or an Arkansas or even an LSU, since they're going to be looking for a quarterback. You know, that this guy's going to end up in the transfer portal, and he's going to go somewhere, and he's going to make a difference wherever he goes. He's that kind of quarterback. So, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Mercer. It was just, you know, it was exactly what we as Auburn fans and Auburn people, it was a shot in the arm. It's what we needed.
Yeah.
We needed to see that, yes, we are capable of doing what we thought we were going to be able to do at the beginning of the season. It's also a validation of most of what was going wrong this season was coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have that one game that I still am 1,000% convinced was poorly officiated, and it affected the game. It affected the outcome. So we beat that horse to death already. But the other things that affected the way Auburn performed this year, it's pretty clear now that it was coaching. Mm-hmm. It was scheme. It was because what Derek Nix and what DJ Durkin are doing with the program as interim coaches is phenomenal. And I would not – it would not make me upset for DJ Durkin to end up being the permanent head coach if, for some reason, John Summerall doesn't come. And if Summerall does come, he better keep DJ Durkin around because, you know, the guy's a difference maker, you know.
Right.
And he's proven it. What we saw this last weekend out of Auburn offensively was just – it leaves you scratching your head. I understand why they did it. It was not just to get Deuce Knight some playing time.
Right.
Get him out there on the field in a blue uniform. Make him feel like, yes, we recruited you for a reason. It was to preserve Ashton Daniels' redshirt.
Mm-hmm.
Ashton is going to start the Bama game. There's no doubt in my mind. There may be a point in there where they think about playing Deuce in that game. I wouldn't be upset with it either way. But this is going to be Ashton's game. And I'm excited about what's coming because now I think everybody in the program, especially offensively, now they believe.
Yeah.
You know, this past game was the game where it was like, you know what? Yes, we are as good as we thought we were.
They're hitting their peak at the perfect time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a confidence builder. Everybody played up instead of playing down. The defense rallied, locked down the other team's offense for the remainder of the game. Other than the targeting penalty on Sylvester Smith, of course, it had to come early in the second half, so it affects him being able to play in the first half of this game. So we are going to be a little bit hamstrung in the defensive backfield first half of the game. But I don't think it's a difference maker. But what I'm excited about this weekend, I really have – higher hopes for this weekend than I did just 10 days ago.
Yeah, absolutely. Because and people are going to sit here, if they haven't followed Auburn football, they're going to sit here and they're going to say, dude, you're getting this hyped over a game against Mercer. No, it's not just you look good against Mercer. You're supposed to look good against Mercer, but that's not where it lies. It runs much deeper than that. First of all, how often do we see Auburn break 60 points on anybody? But second of all, you hung almost 40 on Vanderbilt, who, in their mind at least, especially playing a ranked Tennessee coming up, they're fighting for a playoff spot. So we see Hugh Freeze get out the door and the offense completely accelerate to levels that we have not seen this season at all. And you're doing it with a variety of quarterbacks as well. We knew Jackson Darnold had some dual threat capabilities, and in this game he had a pretty efficient performance, just a few carries, over 50 yards and a touchdown. But Deuce Knight balled out against Mercer. Ashton Daniels balled out against Vandy. So we're not only seeing this offense work, we're seeing it tick regardless of who's at the helm.
Yeah, it's not one-dimensional either. I mean, we did this, that we ran up that score on Mercer without having much of a running game other than the quarterback carrying the ball.
Right.
Deuce Knight had a bunch of scores on the ground. Jackson Arnold had to pull an obvious pass play, had to keep the ball and run it, and he ended up running it in for a touchdown. The running backs didn't have the breakout kind of game like you would expect looking at that kind of score.
Right.
I was kind of hoping Cobb would get more carries and get an opportunity to break 1,000 yards rushing in that game, but you know what? Now he's got a better incentive to perform well in this one, because if we can beat Alabama and do it with our running game, and Cobb bust the 1,000-yard mark in that game, I mean, there's so much upside to what's at stake with Auburn this Saturday. Mm-hmm. And, I fully expect them to just throw the kitchen sink out there.
Well, and when it comes to Cobb, Alabama's rushing defense has been questionable at times against better running backs this season. So Cobb's definitely going to have an opportunity, if you prioritize the running game, to really rack up some yards. But not only – this is what I was hinting at before we went to break a few minutes ago. Not only is your offense really finding new ground, but Alabama's quarterback situation is worsening. And that's my key to success for you in this game. Not just play well defensively like you have all year, but lock up Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson, in his last two games, has essentially killed his Heisman campaign. Against Oklahoma, he lost at home and he had two turnovers. And then he turns around and against a 3-win Eastern Illinois, throws two picks. He's out of the Heisman race almost entirely, and the odds show that. So not only is your offense cooking at the right time, you're catching Ty Simpson and Jordan Hare at the worst possible time in his season.
No, I agree with that. And Auburn is probably, other than Oklahoma, is probably going to be the best defense they've played all year.
And they played LSU's, which is decent. And what'd they do in Tuscaloosa? They only put up 20 measly points.
Yeah,
it wasn't a pretty win.
I mean, Auburn, you know, other than one game, Auburn's kept pretty much everybody at 24 points or less.
Right.
it's so odd to say that we've kept opponents under 24 points, but we've still lost six games. You know, it's hard to wrap your head around that looking backwards at it.
Right.
But that's the truth. You know, our defense has not had a substandard performance in any of the games. I mean, they've stumbled around a little bit sometimes, but they've always gathered themselves back up and performed well, and kept us in most of those games.
Right.
The only one that still blows my mind is that Kentucky game. I have no idea what that was.
Honestly, it was coming off the Arkansas game in enemy territory. It was your first conference win of the year. You really needed that. And I don't know if you just kind of got your head in the clouds, but we also saw Kentucky. They had a second wind as well, because not only did they beat y'all, they hung 38 on Florida, whatever happened there. And now they're entering their rivalry game with Louisville to try to go bowling. So Kentucky just found their life, I think, on a week where y'all were feeling a little lackadaisical.
Well, and it was at the peak of our not having a real offensive identity.
That is true.
We had a good game at Arkansas, and we opened up the season with a good game at Baylor, and we saw flashes of what the offense could be. There was no play calling that made any sense at all in that Kentucky game. And you know, looking back at it now, you can analyze it, and you can see it. You weren't seeing it when it was happening, but you know, you look back at it and you say, oh man, that there's so many things there that you can identify that just didn't make any sense, which is why they eventually fired Hugh Freeze. And the performance of the offense since Hugh Freeze has been gone is another clear indication that that's where the disconnect was.
Right.
So I'm expecting to be in this ball game to the end.
No, it should definitely be a tight game. That is win or lose for Auburn.
I haven't even looked at the line, so I don't even know where it's at.
Alabama's favored. That's not a surprise. They're fighting for a playoff spot, but they were only favored by around 5 or 6 points last I saw. So it's supposed to be tight.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. 10:33. We'll take a quick break here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take a quick break, and when we return, we may touch more on this John Summerall situation. We were talking about the new offensive identity, and he's done well in that regard at Tulane. And I think if you win at Tulane, that says a lot about your ability to perform at a higher level anyway. Just look at Willie Fritz. So we'll talk about John Summerall a bit more, but also we'll look at some of these rivalry week matchups happening around the SEC outside of the Iron Bowl. This show brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Force Steakhouse. We're a third-generation restaurant dedicated to providing authentic Western-style steakhouse fare and heartfelt hospitality. Whether craving a cooked-to-perfection steak, fresh seafood, or a classic cocktail, every bite tells a story of tradition, passion, and dedication. And football fans, come in game day Saturdays in your gear and receive 10% off. Auburn fans, wear your gear any day and get 10% off. Coach and Force Steakhouse, open Wednesday through Saturdays at 7445 Pine Forest Road, across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, closures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a Rise Star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
Play, practice, and party at Bogey's Golf Suites and Sports Bar. Watch your favorite games live or party after an Argos game while playing outstanding simulated golf courses. Bogey's, the area's most exciting virtual indoor entertainment center, featuring over 30 virtual sports from golf to football, baseball, even zombie dodgeball. Bogey's has a full bar and menu, too. Bring your clubs, friends, and get ready to party at Bogey's Golf Suites, University Parkway by the UWF campus, and online at bogeysgolfsuites.com.
Bamboo Willie's on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk is the place to go this fall to watch your favorite teams. With 15 TVs featuring NFL Ticket, SEC, Big Ten, ESPN Plus, Prime, and NBC Peacock for viewing. Draft beer specials and football with a view at Pensacola Beach. It's all at Bamboo Willie's, located on the Pensacola Beach Boardwalk, and you can find them online at BambooWillies.com. The party never stops at Bamboo Willie's.
The Big Bamboo!
Hey, fans! Welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last-second field goal. Whatever, it's fine. I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
ESPN Bet is becoming the score bet this December. The same betting app you love with a new look and promos curated just for you. Existing ESPN Bet customers don't have to change a thing. Your account, wallet, and bets will all remain the same. Plus, kick things off right now by logging in and claiming a 100% profit boost. More action, more rewards. More for you. The score bet coming this December. 21 plus, gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
College football, college basketball, and a whole lot of trash talking. Weekdays 2 until 6 with the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And yes, you're finding out that that includes Thanksgiving morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you from War Eagle Weekly and ESPN Pensacola. This show brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you as always. And Bill, before we get into some of these SEC matchups happening on this rivalry weekend, starting tomorrow with the Egg Bowl, so we're going to be really coming out swinging. Before we get into that, I want to talk to you a bit more about this John Summerall situation with Tulane. You mentioned in the last segment you want DJ Durkin to, at the very least, stay on the staff. You want him to be the guy because he's proven that, listen, I can improve the offense, and he's obviously a defensive-minded man himself.
Well, what he did was he opened the door for Derek Nix, and he's fired up that offense. So that's been the difference maker, was letting Coach Nix take control of the offense. And, I don't think DJ Durkin has his fingerprints very much on the offense at all. I think he's told him, he said, you know what you have. You know what hasn't been working. Find a way to make this work.
And him knowing, if that's how it's happened, and if he knows his limits, it's good to see that he's willing to be a leader who's allowing the staff to do what they're good at.
Well,
why you're there.
Yeah, he's been there and done that before. I mean, he's been a head coach at Maryland, so he knows how to be the leader of the coaching staff, and he knows how to delegate. That's the big thing. He's not trying to micromanage the things that he is unfamiliar with.
Right.
He's a defensive guy. If he's going to micromanage, let him micromanage the defense, as he's good at it. But he's also smart enough to know that, we got good coaches here. We got good coaches on the offensive side of the ball, and they know what they have. They know, now let's see if they can put it all together and make it work. And they have.
Mm-hmm.
I expect more of that this Saturday.
Yes.
I'm actually very excited about this game. Like I said, much more than I was just 10 days ago. I'm so looking forward to, I want Ashton to just have a breakout kind of game like Deuce did last week. Our receivers, you and I talked about them at the break, Malcolm Simmons and Eric Singleton, they balled out. Both of them had touchdowns. And Cam Coleman is just a freak. The types of catches that he makes, one-handed around the back of the defender, and he snatches the ball out of the air in the corner of the end zone. You can't script that.
Right.
That's talent. He has an unbelievable athleticism, and he has a knack for catching the ball, and he's good at it, and I'm so glad he's in a blue uniform.
Yeah, and it's something else that's just very comforting when it comes to where this offense is at, is not just with the playmakers it has and not just with guys like Durkin and Nix making for a balanced, safe bet on both sides of the ball, but you've also, if you bring in a guy like John Summerall, you bring in people from his staff over at Tulane, if you bring in that kind of culture, it appears as if that would be an appealing option as well. Dare I say, Auburn's really in a position where if you bring in Summerall or if you stick with Durkin and Nix, assuming they both stick around, you're in a position that kind of feels like a lose-lose or a win-win. There's no way you can lose.
No, I agree with that. That's why I think John Summerall makes more sense at Auburn than anywhere else if he's going to leave Tulane.
Right.
I mean, you know, Tulane's fighting for a playoff berth, you know? So, I mean,
they would be the Group of Five representative if the playoffs started today.
Yeah, they've got a good he's got a good program there. We've talked about him before. He does have ties to Auburn. His wife's an Auburn grad. He has recruited in the state of Alabama because he was the coach at Troy University. So he's recruited in the same stomping grounds that Auburn and Alabama do. As a matter of fact, he's at Troy. He's the guy that ends up getting the kids that just don't quite make the cut at the Auburns and the Alabamas and the LSUs. He gets those, I don't want to call them leftovers, but he gets the...
He's got to do more with less.
Well, that's just it. But he's getting the cream of that talent that is available at that level. Mm-hmm. And he's made them perform, you know. He's coached them up and they perform. Troy traditionally is a competitive school since they got into Division One. Tulane, obviously, I don't know that much about Tulane other than I know they were a charter member of the SEC.
regionally, yeah, they're a good fit.
but you know, they recruit in the same talent pool that LSU and Auburn and Alabama and Georgia recruit in. So, you know, he went from one school to another that's still recruited in the same gene pool, essentially. So he makes a lot of sense coming to Auburn. And I think if it's going to happen, I fully expect to have that inked, the signature on the paper, right around the start of the Iron Bowl, because I think Tulane plays tomorrow, don't they?
They may. I'll see here. They're not listed, or are they listed here? They're not listed as one of the top 25 matchups on Black Friday, so I'm assuming they don't.
They may play early on Saturday then.
Oh, here it is. Actually, no, they got a primetime game. They are hosting 1-10 Charlotte, so I would assume John's going out on a win. if I just had to take a guess.
Yeah, I fully expect by the end of that game,
word could be out.
There will be an announcement made one way or the other. Yeah, it's either going to be yes, he's coming, or he's not out of consideration.
All right. Yeah, and I think it could be a beautiful thing to see a guy that's proven as much as he has in the region that he has. For him to come to an SEC school and have the resources that you can get at a place like Auburn, that would be phenomenal.
Yeah, I know there's some chatter, too, around not just him but where he might go, but there has been some chatter that he may end up at LSU if Kiffin, for some reason, leaves Ole Miss and goes to Florida.
Right.
First off, I don't see that scenario happening at all.
Me neither.
If Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss, he's going to go to LSU. He's a better fit in that program than he is at Florida. And he's gonna take several of those kids from Ole Miss to LSU with him, probably in the transfer portal. Mm-hmm. You know, the ones that want to go and are eligible are probably gonna go because, you know, they want to go play for him. What he's done at Ole Miss is phenomenal. So I fully expect that if Lane Kiffin chooses to leave Ole Miss, which I believe he is.
Seems like it.
He's going to end up at LSU.
No, I'm right there with you. Lane's going to be at LSU, and Summerall very likely to be at Auburn. If he does not go to Auburn, but he leaves Tulane, I genuinely don't see anywhere else that he would realistically go. With it being 10:45, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly. We're going to tackle some of these SEC rivalry games going on here. I said the first one up is the Egg Bowl. Tomorrow morning, Black Friday, 11 a.m. It's typically played on Thursday or Friday of this week. Ole Miss is number 7 in the nation. There's some chatter, and I don't agree with it. Jordan Glass was talking about it during the Glass Half Full. There's some chatter that, oh, well, if Lane Kiffin leaves before the playoffs, which would be a poor decision, if he leaves before the playoffs, they shouldn't let Ole Miss into the bracket. Now, that is ridiculous. You and I are in agreement on that. I think anyone with half a brain is. But that, nonetheless, gives Lane Kiffin a bit of a fire to really make an example of Mississippi State in a game like this. I think they tack a score or two on late, and they win this game by double digits in Starkville.
Oh, I agree with that. They're too high powered of an offense, and they've got a quality defense. And old Mississippi State just hasn't proven much of anything this year. This is just a down year for them. So, and about the playoff implications with Lane Kiffin, that makes no sense to me at all. Whether Lane Kiffin stays or goes at Ole Miss should have no bearing on where Ole Miss ends up in the playoff picture, because the kids earned it. They're the ones that went out there and performed and played hard, and it's for them. It's not for the coach.
Right.
So, you know, that if I were an Ole Miss fan, I would be very emotional about that. It would not matter to me if Lane goes or stays. It should have no bearing on them making a position in the playoff or any consideration by the committee at all.
Yeah, Jordan compared it to the Jordan Travis situation at Florida State a couple of years ago. And I think that's why this is getting so much buzz, because the committee dropped the ball on that. And so now people are thinking, would you screw, dare I say, Ole Miss that same way? I hope not.
Oh, I hope not too. It sets a bad example for the committee, really.
Absolutely.
It tells you where, you know, that they're not looking at the quality of the product that's on the field. Mm-hmm. It's about the personalities involved.
Right. Number four, Georgia. At number 23, Georgia Tech. Man, Georgia, they're sitting pretty right now. They're number four. I mean, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs no matter what. But Georgia Tech, they're sitting here. They don't really need this win, but they don't need that as a motivator. They're in Atlanta. It's Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It's not Bobby Dodd. Georgia only favored by 13.5. I've got Georgia Tech maybe scoring late to make it look like a respectable one-score game, but I see Georgia taking control here in the latter half of the matchup. What do you say?
Yeah, I think Georgia's going to win the game, but I think it's going to be much closer than that line.
Yeah, 13.5.
Georgia Tech's not a bad. They're not a bad team.
And even if they bring their best for this matchup.
Oh yeah, to them this is their Auburn Alabama game.
Oh, for sure. And then we got number 3 Texas A&M at number 16 Texas. This is another hate-filled one. Texas A&M on the road, favored by only 2.5. Texas at 16, they're thinking if we show up in this game, maybe, just maybe, the committee will look our way if a couple of other dominoes fall. But I got Texas A&M on the road. I think if you don't beat the Longhorns here, when will you?
Yeah, Texas A&M, if they play this game the way they played against Auburn, they're gonna light the scoreboard up.
And then we've got just a couple of quick pickers here, because these teams don't really tip the scale with how their seasons have gone. Kentucky at Louisville. I'm going to take Kentucky on the road. They're battling for a bowl. They typically give Louisville a scare, even when the Cards are having a better season like this one. And also, they've struggled lately. So I'll take Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the SEC on this one.
Yeah, SEC superiority all around here. And then we got Clemson at South Carolina. Clemson's already clinched a bowl. South Carolina has looked competitive at times, but all in all, their season has been very disappointing. But they're in Columbia. I'm taking Clemson to win, because they typically do take care of business in matchups like these against the Gamecocks. But it could definitely be a close one.
No, I'm going to take Clemson as well.
Mm. So SEC superiority until it comes to Clemson. Sorry, SC. Clemson's got you beat.
But, I mean, you know, Clemson has the resume the last 4 or 5 years.
They've got the better coaching. They've got the better talent. And, yeah, they do. They've got the history in this matchup. All right, LSU at number 8, Oklahoma. LSU's defense could really punch OU in the mouth. OU only being 8, that tells me, hey, if you lose this game, it doesn't matter you beat Bama. You're going to be out of the playoff. So this is a defensive matchup. The over and under is 36.5. That is how low scoring they take this game to be. In Norman, give me OU to win this game and essentially clinch a playoff spot.
I agree. I think Oklahoma is going to win, and it is going to be a low scoring defensive punch each other in the mouth kind of game. I mean, I still right now, and I've said it pretty much the whole season, I still think Oklahoma has the best defense in the conference.
It's stellar.
But LSU has a very good defense as well. And of course, you know, they're kind of dangling in the wind like we are with the coaching situation. So,
and their offense hasn't gotten
better.
Yeah,
there's a lot of distractions. So Oklahoma's going to win it.
And then we got number 14 Vandy at number 19 Tennessee. I love Vandy. I love the Pavia story. I can't think of one who doesn't. But in Knoxville, you got to keep up with their offense. Tennessee owns you in this rivalry historically. I think the Vols get it done, especially with how they took care of business in the Swamp last week.
I'm I'm not going to put any stock in that Florida game. Vanderbilt, I'm going to take Vandy. I'm just sold. I'm sold on Pavia. He's the difference maker. He is the charisma guy. He's Johnny Manziel version at Vandy. That's what he is.
That is absolutely what he is. I believe in Vandy, but not enough journalistically. That's my only hiccup. We got Mizzou at Arkansas. Mizzou's good, not great. Arkansas in Fayetteville fighting for their first conference win of the season. It would be their only conference win if they got it. Do you think the Hogs can get it done?
Nah, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm with Mizzou. And then Florida State at Florida. Whew, how this rivalry's fallen. Florida State just battling to go bowling. I lost a lot of faith in Florida. You could say with the Kentucky game, but especially with the Tennessee game, you didn't bring anything in the swamp. That's so embarrassing in that rivalry. So I've lost all stock in the Gators. Give me FSU on the road in a close one.
I agree with that. FSU has – they have more at stake than Florida does in this game.
Yes, that much is very true, even with Mike Norvell being promised another season. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take one last quick break with it already being 10:52 when we return. We may squeeze in a national game or two if we have the time, but we'll definitely give our predictions for the Iron Bowl, of course. That in just a few minutes right here on ESPN Pensacola.
DeWitt D. Clark is a licensed attorney that specializes in practice areas of real estate, business litigation, mortgage, lien foreclosures, probate litigation, and a lot more. DeWitt has been selected 3 times as a rising star by Super Lawyers, a distinction only 2.5% of all eligible attorneys receive, plus a member of the All Sports Association. Need legal advice? Contact DeWitt D. Clark, attorney at law, 850-863-4064, or dclark@asglegal.com.
I'm Steve Austin Worth, the owner of Sandpiper Services, a local handyman company ready to tackle your jobs. We've served many in the local area for over 10 years. Have projects like fixtures, electrical, or plumbing? No problem. Ceiling fans, sink, or bathtub installs? Sure. Plus painting, drywall, wood rot, even punch lists for real estate transactions. We specialize in in-and-out projects and won't tie up your home or your wallet. Trusted, local, insured, Sandpiper Services. Call me at 850-255-1110 or find us on Facebook.
Season's greetings from our Gulf Breeze Natural Gas team. Holiday nights means it's time to gather around your fireplace with your family. We are proud to serve all of Gulf Breeze and Pensacola Beach. If you'd like to learn more about the benefits of natural gas for your home or business, please visit gulfbreezenaturalgas.com. We also offer appliance rebates. And remember, we are here to help make natural gas your holiday style, your holiday comfort, and your energy.
What makes a winning team for a car dealership? Start with a 44-year legacy of providing generations of families with a car buying experience that keeps folks coming back for more. As in Pete Moore, the Pete Moore Automotive Team. With its lineup of new Chevys, Volkswagens, and Mitsubishis, as well as pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs for all brands, domestic or imported, this season, win with PeteMoore.com. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. 103 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Clinton Yates here. The holidays are upon us, and so are the savings at Total Wine & More. Discover thousands of wines, spirits, and beers, like my favorite, IPAs, perfect for every celebration and every budget. From bold reds to sparklers, you'll find the perfect wines to raise a glass this season. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Curbside pickup and delivery available in most areas. See TotalWine.com for details. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
Out here, pets are always by your side. Watching the herd, running fence lines, or asleep at your feet. Pets are some of our favorite customers. When you bring them along to Tractor Supply, we'll always have a treat waiting. And with our price match guarantee, you'll always get the best price on their favorite food, toys, treats they love, and pet meds to keep them healthy. Tractor Supply, for pets out here.
Amber and Ian, weeknights 6 to 9 on ESPN Pensacola.
1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
All sports, all the time.
Welcome back to War Eagle Weekly, every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach and Force Steakhouse, DeWitt D. Clark, Attorney at Law, and Sandpiper Services. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Hitting the final stretch, heading into rivalry week here. Just got a few games that we're going to do some quick picks on the national scale, starting with the game. Number one, Ohio State at number 15, Michigan. If Michigan shows out here, they most likely go to the playoff. They would be 10-2, and this is a win in Ann Arbor for them if they pull it off. Ryan Day can't beat the Wolverines typically. Bill, does Michigan get it done, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Go blue.
I don't think they do. I've got Ohio State by a touchdown on the road. I think they haven't gotten much of an opportunity to prove themselves, and that's not their fault. I think they get an opportunity here, and while close, they pull it out. Then we got number 12, Miami, at number 22, Pittsburgh. There's a lot of controversy with Miami kind of being on the outside looking in here with Notre Dame being in the top 10. But if Pitt beats them, that won't be a problem. Pitt, it's going to be very chilly. They're at home. They're motivated, trying to make the ACC title game, though it is a far shot. Does Pittsburgh get it done at Acrisure Stadium?
No. I like Miami in this game. I mean, they got the better quarterback.
I'm taking Pitt to win. They proved themselves against Georgia Tech. Miami's fallen just short to them late in the season before. So I'm taking Pitt at home. I hope they win so Miami doesn't end up feeling screwed on Selection Day. Then we've got Alabama at Auburn. I'm taking Auburn, man, 30-27. There's too much going y'all's way. It's the perfect time. You're hitting your peak. Alabama's hit their slump. Jordan Hare, prime time. Come on, man. I got to take the Tigers.
Oh, beat Bama. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this game. Everything is right about this coming Saturday for Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the offense. We've shown what we can do improved-wise on the offense. The defense is there. The coaching staff is excited. The future of the program is excited. You know, there's so much for us to win and so much for them to lose. That mm-hmm. This is the, you know, what a better way to have a Thanksgiving weekend than Auburn beating Alabama and in the process taking them out of the playoff hunt.
Yeah, Alabama's getting the love that they're getting on this narrow spread, 5.5. They're getting that because, you know, they've got the playoff implications. Auburn does not. They, with them being with their backs up against the wall, they're, I'm sure, going to be motivated. Yeah. But
well, frankly, they have the resume. I mean, the line makes sense.
But I mean, just Auburn, you can't beat them under these circumstances.
Even Coach Saban has said on game day before, there's something weird about going to play at night game at Jordan Hare. It's a haunted.
Yeah, and if he's experienced that, I mean, no one is immune to it. So give us Auburn in Jordan Hare under the prime time lights. I think Ty Simpson's going to be completely out of his element for this one, and Auburn will go bowling. Alabama will as well, just not in a playoff bracket. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.